Proverbs chapter number 3. Everyone has it. The book of Proverbs is filled with a lot of wonderful truths. In fact, I just mentioned my grandfather, Parker. It's a reunion time. This was the book of the Bible that it was his favorite. It's a how-to book. You can go to the library or go to the bookstore. How to do this and how to do that and how to do something else. I have found them to be a whole lot more difficult than it sounds. But when you come to the Bible, this book of the Bible gives directions and information or what have you, how to live a happy life, a full life in the Lord. He gives us instructions. It was written by King Solomon, the son of David. And he's the one that did not come up with all of these sayings and this wisdom, but he compiled them from various sources, and many of them God gave him as well. He compiled them, but it's important to know there's more than just a collection of some truths that somehow is out there. These are faced directly from God. Although Solomon might not have come up with all of them, God directed, these are divine truths from God. So let me make a statement, if I may, if you've studied the Bible. The first 7 chapters of Proverbs, the writer is speaking to sons. Sons, if you'll do this. Sons, if you'll live this kind of life. Sons, if you'll obey your parents. And it goes on and on. And as I read the first 7 chapters, let me leave this with everyone today. I thank God for the instructions that God has given to us in the first 7 chapters of Proverbs for sons, but I found that they're good for daughters too. And moms and dads. It's good for everyone. The book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read from the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a threefold responsibility in those verses that I want to preach about this morning, given to everyone, anyone who hopes to enjoy the blessings of God. And I want to start off going from the other direction. I'm afraid a lot of people get the cart before the horse. I'm afraid a lot of people get spiritual matters turned around. A lot of people have the idea, I want the blessing, but I'm not interested in paying the price. I believe that's in the spiritual world, that's in the school, and I believe that's in the workplace. Oftentimes we want the benefits without paying the price. We want good grades on the report card without doing the homework. That was me. I really wanted good grades, but not enough to study like you ought. I look back. I thank God. Our grandchildren on the National Honor Society and the National National Honor Society and the National National Honor Society and the next one. What happened to me? I wanted good grades, but I didn't want to put in the time. And that's the way it is oftentimes. We want to raise in our pay on the job, but we're not too interested maybe in preparing and doing something beyond or excelling in what we're doing that we might be worthy of receiving. And it goes on and on and on how that we're wanting something without paying the price. And my prayer is today, the Bible gives us a promise in the 6th verse, he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to preach on that, but I want to come to the requirements first of all. Let me say this again. That is a promise from God. He shall direct thy paths. If. Will you say with me right there? He shall direct thy paths. if we'll trust Him with all of our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart is number one. Two words in that statement. Trust in all. Trust in all. Give Him everything. Trust Him with everything. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your soul. Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with everything. Trust in the Lord with all thy might. A complete dedication. That's exactly what I tried to preach last Sunday morning. Holiness. Sanctification. Trust in the Lord with everything. We want Him to direct our paths. But there's responsibility on our part, just like our Sunday school lesson this morning, the responsibilities of church members, of believers in Christ, there's something for us to do. Trust in the Lord. I thought of that. When I left the first church that we pioneered in Arizona, and moved to Phoenix, to Glendale, after God had moved in a certain way in our lives, then we moved to Phoenix, and there was a man in our church that hated Christianity. He hated for his wife to go to church. And I've mentioned her before and him before. He beat her. She'd come to church black and blue. I'll tell you what she'd say when she got to church prayer time. She said, "Pray for Norman that God will save her." Didn't complain. Wasn't bitter. "Pray for my husband Norman and God will save him." I told you a story. One day I was at the Texaco station in Sierra Vista, Arizona, getting gas. And a car pulled up beside me. And I looked, and that was him, Norman. When he saw me, he wouldn't even buy gas at the same station. He peeled rubber. Got out of there. He didn't want to see me. He didn't want to see the church. He didn't want anything to do with the church. She kept on praying and saying, "Pray for Norman." I remember Sunday morning just like this in the Quonset Hut, Sierra Vista, Arizona. Didn't have an aisle over there. Didn't have an aisle over there. Just one aisle down the middle. Folding chairs all the way to the wall. Norman came in the door with his wife, and he went all the way to the wall and sat down in his family next to him. First time he'd ever been in the church. I preached on Noah. That's 1962. I preached on Noah. I asked, "Is there anybody in the house that would like to be saved? You realize you're going the wrong way." And I looked. And he was a tall man. About like Brother Eddie. He raised his hand high. I went a little bit further. I said, "Those of you that raise your hand, if you really want God to do something, will you step out and come to the altar?" And I saw him. And he was laid by his wife, by his children, and made his way to the center aisle. Came to the altar. Got saved. God sanctified him. Went to the camp meeting. Filled with the Holy Ghost. God called him to preach. And when I left that church in August of 1962, I left that church with Norman Basinger to preach. And the first sermon he ever preached was from the third chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. Told me what he preached. The reason I'm saying all of that today, we're serving a big God. When it might look as if God's doing nothing, everything's going backwards, seems like the devil's got the upper hand, don't you ever believe it? God's still in control. And he says in this verse 6, he makes a promise, "He shall direct thy paths. He'll give you directions in life. He'll lead you in the way that you should go. The right way, the good way, the perfect way, the safe way." David said he will lead you beside still waters. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah said there'll come a time in your life when you'll be at the crossroads and you'll not know which way to turn. And we've all been there. You'll not know which way to go. What's right? He said, "Behind you will hear a voice." That voice will say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." I hope everyone understands what I'm saying today. God has promised to direct our paths. He will obey Him. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all of your might. Give it all to God. Now I'm saying He's promised to direct our paths. Let me leave this with you today. There are times in your life when you don't really know which way you ought to go. You don't know the right decision. You're going to buy a new car. Don't know whether to afford a Chevy, Toyota or Honda. Isn't it true? Whatever it is. I was talking to Mike Buffkin this week about his children going to school. They both graduated from high school. He said, my son decided when he graduated from high school not to go to college for a year. To work, earn some money, and try to find out really what he wanted to do. And as we stand there talking, I thought, that's good advice. That's wisdom. A lot of people go to college 2 years and realize that's not even what they're going to do. They're pursuing this and they find out, I wanted to pursue this. I've got a nephew. Went for several years not knowing exactly what he wanted, so he went back some more. Didn't know what he wanted, went back some more. God says He will direct our paths. And He will. If we'll trust Him with all of our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Give Him everything. Do you really trust Him with it? Some people don't even trust Him enough to pay tithes. And I've probably mentioned more tithes the last 3 weeks, and this is a good tithe in church, and so I'm not begging money, but God's blessed the church. In case you don't know it, we don't know a penny. Properties in the building and everything, God's been good to us. We've given over $1 million to missions. God's been good to a small church. He's blessed us abundantly. We don't preach tithing so because we need money. We preach tithing because we need to obey God. If you obey God, God comes along and you'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all, everything. Give your wife to God. Give your husband to God. Give your children to God. He can take care of them better than you can. It doesn't mean you're going to be relieved of any duties, but God can take care. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a good God we're serving. Trust Him. Trust Him. I was looking up some things. And I jotted them down. 3 things that are missing here. It's about trusting in the Lord with all of thine heart. The psalmist said over and over again, I will trust in the Lord. The Bible says some trust in riches, and some trust in graven images, and some trust in chariots and horses, and some trust in the arm of flesh. But let me leave this with you today. Man will fail you. They will let you down. Man will make some errors, but God never fails. Hallelujah! The shouting, preacher people. He never fails. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I've read the Bible through. There are 1,189 chapters. When you come to the very center of the Bible, you'll find yourself in the 118th Psalm. You'll find yourself in the 8th verse. Listen to what it says. In the 8th verse, I jotted it down here. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust Him. Isn't that amazing? The very center verse of the Bible is trusting in the Lord. We sing a chorus, trust in the Lord and don't despair. He's a friend so true, no matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Amen. Have you found that to be so? Let me say that one more time. Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, no matter what the tribulation might be, no matter what the problem might be, He will see us through. I believe that course writer, the writers of that course, must have read 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so, He was really paraphrasing, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, you say, preacher, whatever comes your way, God is able to see you through. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him.
I told you I was raised in Fox Hill. Right beside our house, 196 Beach Road, there's a lane. One house back there. Not too far, maybe 120 yards, 100 yards, something. A house back there. There was a young lady getting ready to get married. Had a wedding dress on the bed laid out in the upstairs. Going to get married that day, and a one-engine small plane came down in Fox Hill and went right into that house. No one was killed, but there was a young boy in the upstairs. Everyone was shook up. He came out on the sort of a patio on the upstairs. I don't know what you call that. From the upstairs, where he could step out. Standing below was his daddy. He was scared. The noise and all the rest. Scared. And his daddy said to him, "Son, jump. I'll catch you." He hesitated. "Jump, son, I'll catch you." You know what the Lord's saying for us today? Just come my way, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He's never dropped a one. He's never failed a one. Sometimes we're afraid he's going to let us down. Read the Bible. He doesn't let anybody down, anyone down. He's a good God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. My God, if we could somehow get that in our hearts and our minds today, put all your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the bank. Don't trust in the job. Don't trust in our government. Don't trust in our president. Don't trust in our governor. Don't trust in all of that. Put your trust in God. I'm not saying turn your back on them, but don't put your trust in all of that. Trust in God. America is going a long way from God. And I'm not going to take time right here to mention some things that is happening right now. But whatever you do, folks, be sure your trust is in the Almighty. We sing, "Of course, I put my trust in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's with me every moment since He set me free. Now I sing His praises and will until the end. I am weak, but He is strong. I'm glad He's my friend." Oh, what a friend is He. I say this morning, He's my friend. I've never had a friend like Jesus. The songwriter says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Brother, if He's your friend today, you've got some rejoice about. Hallelujah. 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 Then I want you to notice in that fifth verse, not only did He say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart," He said, "and lean not unto thine own understanding." This is where so many go wrong. I'm talking about Christians. This is where so many fail. They think sometimes that they know better than God. So I'm going to give you some illustrations. In today's society, it seems that some have come to the conclusion that God's guidelines or that it's outlined in His Word, that they don't have to go by God's route when it comes to raising children or disciplining children or about the gay society, or about social drinking, or about how to dress, or how to select friends, that they know better. I told you about a story right here. How did we put something on the marquee one time years ago? And a professor at Thomas Nelson University called me, a woman professor. And she said, "I rode by the church and I saw something that you had on the board, and I thought that I want to share something with you. That might have been all right in yesteryear or in Bible times, but that is not good in our society." It had really to do with disciplining children. Did you notice in the Bible, "Spare the rod and spare the child"? Did you know that's there? Do you know when it was written for? 2013. On May the 5th. So I hope that you can understand. They'll have everything under control over here in a minute. Everything will be all right. If we can only understand, God's way is the best way. lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't ever think, and I'm preaching to the church, don't ever think that you know better than God. Don't ever think that your ways, if they're contrary to the Bible, are the best ways. There's no better way than God's way. Whatever it is, we've come to the place in America that we've accepted gay society. It's all right. We've accepted gay marriage. State after state after state. We've accepted so much until we feel like it's all right. Listen closer. God's word doesn't change. Lean not unto your own understanding. Some people have the idea, now I don't believe what God said over here. That might have been all right for the Jews back then. That might have been all right for the New Testament Christian, but we're living in a new day. We're more enlightened, and the fads have changed. Listen closely. God doesn't change His word about how men and women dress now or ever. Amen. I hope it comes across right. We want God to direct our paths. But if we're willing to do it, we must trust Him with everything we've got. And we must not lean on our understanding. What I think about a thing is not so important. What does God think? If my thinking is lined up with God's, I'm on the right track. But if my thinking is contrary to God's, I'm going the wrong direction. Lean not to your own understanding. How many today have made shipwreck of their lives because they've leaned on something they've heard that doesn't line up with the Bible? They've lined up with a doctrine that doesn't line up with the Bible. They've lined up with what everyone else is doing it, and it doesn't line up with the Bible. Forget about what everyone else is doing. Please God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. And the third thing, and I'm hurrying. The third thing he said, and in all things acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God in all things. Let me just make a statement. The Bible says, without Him we can do nothing. And there's another verse that says, I can do all things. The first thing I quoted says, without Christ we can do nothing. Without Him. And now I'm saying I can do all things through Christ or with Christ. Listen, without the Lord, we can do nothing that amounts to anything. Live your life, make money, and have the best in the world. Live it all. But without Christ, it's nothing but emptiness. You come to the end of life. Sometimes it happens even in the midst of life. You come to a place in your life, what is life worth living? What am I doing all of this for? If you're not living for God, who are you living for? Lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Jesus. When you begin in a work, or when you're in the midst of a work, or when you complete the work, when it's all said and done, look back and realize if it wasn't for Him, it would never have been accomplished. At the beginning, in the midst, or in the end. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If we could only grasp that in our spirits today, the devil tried to make us believe that we're defeated, that nothing's happening. But God is real, that God is with us. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy might, with everything you've got. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in everything that comes your way. Acknowledge Him. He's the answer. He's the one that's worthy of our praise and of our thanksgiving. Give acknowledgement unto Him. Acknowledgement unto Him. And He will bless your hearts. Finally, let me try to hurry along here. I mentioned about without Him doing nothing. That's the negative part. Through Him I can do all things through Christ. That is a positive part, but I want to close with the 15th chapter of John. In the 15th chapter of John, Jesus said these words, "My Father is the husbandman. I am the vine. Ye are the branches." He goes on to say, "And every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me," and the only way to be a branch in the vine is to be saved. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he cuts it away from the vine, casts it into the fire. Someone is saved that does not go with the Lord, they are lost. Cast into the fire. But the third part said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he said these words in that 15th chapter. He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. That's a promise. That's a promise from Almighty God. First thing that I mentioned was from the 6th chapter of Proverbs chapter 3. He shall direct thy paths. You will stand in the crossroads not knowing which way to go. But if you trust him, he'll be there. He'll let you know the right way. He will never lead you astray. We've come to the 15th chapter and he says, now if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The promise is it shall be done. And the requirements, the need, the part that is up to us, abiding. Not only in the Lord, but in his word. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You know what the Christian world today likes to do? Ask God for anything. They say, ask it a while ago. Name it and claim it. Prosperity gospel. Name and claim it. I'm preaching something different. I'm preaching the Bible. He said, if you live right and obey me, then you can cash in on the promises. They're yours. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all things. He'll direct your path. Abide in him and let his word abide in you, and it shall be done. And so finally, these thoughts in that 15th chapter of the book of John. Then, if we abide, and his words abide in us, then the promise is ours. So I'm going to close, and my wife is from the piano. I don't know about everyone else. We've been living for God since 1955. It's been a good journey. I have never had a desire to go back to the life that I lived. Since the day God saved me, 1955, has been my determination and desire to go all the way, to live right, to obey God. I realize that our ministry is winding down, and we understand that. Our help, our wife's help, our age, and the church is praying, and we're praying. We're believing God. He's got everything working out for his glory. I don't know about everyone else. There's five things that I'm determined to do in the closing moments of my life. My ministry. I'm determined to trust him with everything I've got. I'm determined not to lean on my own understanding, but to lean on him. Honey, we're going to sing, I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you. Sometimes it might seem easy to lean on this one or this one or this one. And I thank God for good Christian friends and church members and friends. I thank God for your prayers and the strength that's received one from another. But I'm determined to trust in the Lord with everything I've got. And not lean on what I have here, because that's not much. I want to lean on him. And I want to acknowledge him in everything. We pioneered three churches. But folks, without him, we couldn't have done one thing. God's been good. And I was praying in here last night. I came back out of the church thinking about what God has done. Nothing nothing have we accomplished ourselves on our own. Anything that's been accomplished has been because of Him. I am determined to acknowledge Him. I am determined to abide in Him. When my wife met me in the altar, 25th Street, February the 20th, 1954, and I made a vow, she made a vow, to death do us part, to love each other, cherish each other. A year later, when we made our vows to God, I met them, I met those with my wife, I met those with God a year later. I am determined to abide in Him. Finally, I'm determined to stay in the Word. I love the Bible. I was reading this morning in the Scriptures. As I read through the Bible, I've come to Ephesians, the Colossians. I was reading this morning at home before we came to church. The Bible is the best book in the world. It's a living book. And so I'm closing and we're going to sing. I lean on you or learning to lean, whichever. I want to leave this with you today. We want the directions of God. We want God to work some things out. We want God to come on the scene. There's problems, there's troubles, there's heartache, there's difficulties. We want God to come on the scene. Trust Him. Obey Him. Live for Him. Commit everything in His hands. He will not fail you. You might come to the preacher and I will not have the answer. You might go to the deacons and they might not have the answer, but go to Jesus. He has the answer. Will you stand with me? What number is that, honey? Running.